You guys, in this week's episode, we have Ariel Richard with your Happy Living Solutions, and she is walking us through mindfulness. Right now, there's a lot happening in the world, and implementing mindfulness can be such a powerful tool to help you stay grounded and to help you navigate through all of this. I know that this episode specifically was a very powerful one for me. She takes us through a meditation exercise at the end of the podcast as well. So if you are driving, please, please don't close your eyes when she says close your eyes. Okay. And without further ado, here's this week's episode.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
Ariel, thank you so much for being here. It is such a pleasure to have someone who's an expert on such a important skill, which today mindfulness is going to be at the center of this discussion. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll dive into mindfulness after that?
Yeah, sure. It's great to be on here. Thank you for inviting me. I am a licensed clinician. So I provide therapy services to families, to children, couples, and I've been doing this, wow, it seems so long, for about 12 years now, I guess 13, 14 years now, actually. And then I also, you know, supervise other interns and other clinicians and help build various mental health programs. So that's my primary thing I've been doing for quite a while. And then about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, when I was a new mom, actually, had my oldest at the time, I got more into kind of wellness practices and got training in mindfulness and self-care. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I got certified as a wellness coach. So just kind of moving, integrating, I guess, more traditional therapeutic practices with more holistic and other approaches. So that's kind of what I do and what I've been doing.
Okay. Well, I love that you have this clinical background, but you're marrying it with a little bit more, I guess, a divergence from the traditional therapy and mental health space with the mindfulness practice. Am I right in thinking that's a little bit off the traditional path, or is that being more accepted as mainstream?
So now it's being more accepted as mainstream. And, you know, before in the past, it was kind of off the beaten path in a different arena. But I think more people are seeing that we need both. We need to integrate both.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. I know for me personally, I use some meditation, some mindfulness techniques, and you know, life is a lot to handle right now in this current time. And I think it's so important for folks to have this tool in their toolbox. Now, can you tell us a little bit about mindfulness if someone's new to this?
Yeah. So the easiest kind of way to, I guess, define mindfulness is practicing intentionally being focused on the present moment, having like present moment awareness or attention, and looking at things in a non-judgmental way. So it allows for you to, there's different practices that allow for you to focus on, I guess I kind of call it like, is your feet where your mind is? Is your mind where your feet is, kind of thing? And so basically, you know, am I here? Am I present with you all right now? Or is my mind full of all the other things? Or am I kind of focused in on the now? And it allows you to have more self-awareness. You know, in our age of technology and life moving so fast and, you know, just all of these different roles and responsibilities that we have, people are not really connected to the here and now in their life. We're too either far focused on the future, too far focused in the past, but it helps to have a better way to stay grounded and connected and have kind of just a present moment focus.
Wow, that is so powerful. Now, to anyone who's listening, this is not something that I have traditionally practiced or even really heard a whole lot of. So I'm taking, Ariel, I'm taking so many notes right now because this sounds like it could be a super, super powerful tool.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, it's funny because when I first got introduced to it, you know, I was practicing like regular relaxation techniques and things like that. Like that's traditional within therapy. But I don't know that I was really living it truly in my own life. I was bouncing around busy constantly, you know, and then that even that piece that I talked about, non-judgmental focus, is that I think a lot of us judge ourselves. Probably we're very harsh on ourselves. I don't know anyone who doesn't, you know, judge themselves pretty harshly. And so there's parts of mindfulness where you can cultivate self-compassion, compassion for others, kindness, different things like that. And there's, you know, mindful meditation practices that you can do, but it's not just, you know, in the moments of, you know, sitting and doing like a mindful meditation. It's also what it does. It changes your intention. It changes your focus. It helps you become more self-aware and it allows you to really be present in your own life. And the real first moment or experience I can remember in really practicing it more of a informal way is that I was at a park with my 1.5-year-old and I had just had a busy day at work. And I was like, let me try and take her to the park right after work. And, you know, 5,000 things on my mind. And I got on the swing and she was on the swing. I pushed her a little bit and I got on the swing next to her and I just swung with her and you know, I could feel in that moment the sun on my face and I could see her smiling and I was very just present. It was just us in the world at the moment. Like I was there with her and it was very powerful to me. And I realized that I want to live my life where I can be, you know, present focused and intentional about my time.
Yeah, that's beautiful and such a special moment when you're able to tap into that. And I think all of us would agree, we'd want more moments like that, where we're really experiencing our life in the moment and not caught up in what will happen or what did happen or how I feel about this thing that happened the other day. It just being there and enjoying that moment. Jamie, did you have something to say? I think I jumped in.
No, I just like, I'm almost borderline emotional hearing this right now because I'm not there. I check out all the time. And I want to swing with my kids and I want to be present and I cannot wait to implement this because I do feel like, I mean, at a certain point yesterday, I put my phone in another room and I left it for hours. I was like, I just need to check out because I'm not present. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay up to date on what's happening and research things and dive in on top of business stuff. Cause there's so much just happening right now. And I just want to stay as well abreast of the situation as possible for my own self-education, or that's the excuse that I would tout to be glued to my phone. Mm-hmm. And I have been glued to my phone for days, but to put that away and then sit. And I just watched a TV show with my husband and we laughed about it and we joked about it. And then I hung out with my kids, but this is like, man, this is hitting really hard for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a difficult thing in just an average time to balance being a parent or a mother and being an entrepreneur and, you know, managing expectations and things going on in your world. But right now, I think 2020 has been a real hard one for everybody on varying levels and some far more than others. And I think it's just brought up a lot of emotions for all of us and a lot of reflection. And so I feel like more distracted than ever, more caught up in trying to stay plugged in than ever. And I think this is such a powerful thing for folks to be hearing right now. So what are your thoughts about how this mindfulness technique might be helpful for couples listening, for pros listening that are dealing with these challenging moments right now?
Well, you know, in just hearing Jamie talking, I think a lot of people are experiencing that right now where we feel this urge to kind of stay connected, to educate ourselves, to figure out what's going on, to have the conversations. And those things are all very, very important. However, one of the things that's also important is making sure that we are aware of how much we are able to take or consume. Each person as an individual is at different stages within that. And it's important to be kind of aware of what your needs are and then take care of yourself. And that also means taking care of your mental space. You know, control what you're consuming, finding moments to practice gratitude. So even in the midst of what's happening in our country right now and across the world, it's important to find time to enjoy and to actually think of the things that we are grateful for. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that can also help you, again, like I mentioned before, cultivate kind of kindness, compassion for others, especially in a time where maybe people are not understanding each other, having compassion for yourself, and then also giving yourself grace, because we won't know everything. We won't know how to handle every situation, especially now, especially the whole of 2020.
Right.
Right.
I don't think any of us are meant to know how this is supposed to be handled. I think we'll have a lot of reflecting to do, you know, as time continues to pass. But it's really important to use mindfulness as an opportunity to be aware, to connect with others, and to really just, while caring for others, also care for yourself.
Yeah, I know the saying my mom would always tell me is you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think that's what's really happening for many of us. There's just so many different things at play here that are wearing us down in different ways. And again, to different degrees, but there's not a lot left at the end of the day. And we're running on fumes, and it's really dangerous because us not taking care of ourselves, not giving ourselves time to just be in the moment and not be a human doing, but be a human being, it's detrimental to our mental health and ultimately leads to so many problems. So how can we hold space for all of this at the same time? Because there's the gratitude and celebrating the love around us. And as a wedding professional, you know, celebrating these couples in this big moment, but also there's the healing and the grieving that's going on from all the deep work really our society's working through right now.
Yeah, I think you just be human, and we have to see one another as humans. You know, I didn't mention this earlier, but, and I know this is just audio, it's a podcast, but I am an African-American professional, you know, in the field that I'm working on, you know, these issues. I've gotten, you know, calls from different people wanting support, whether it's their, you know, an African-American child that's, you know, struggling with what's happening in this country right now, and, or, you know, someone who's a parent who's angry or who's fearful, mm-hmm. That to be able just to walk outside, or, you know, just things like that. And I think one of the things that's happening is that people just want to be seen. People want to feel like they are human, and we all just want to, you know, want people to treat people like they're human beings at the end of the day. And I think if we can hold space for like, for love and take care of ourselves, have that self-love, but also, you know, caring for your relationships, and then having that empathy for others and what they may be going through, even if we don't have the exact understanding. I think all of that is important right now. The biggest problem with, you know, social media and some of the other things, while it can be very helpful, one of the biggest issues is that it's, you know, led people to feel that their opinion is the only one that matters, and to kind of hold that space and that belief that as an individual, you know everything, and that your opinion is the one that everyone must hear right away, and that it's the only one that matters. And I think we need to move away from that and just be able to have open conversations and understand that other people may be dealing with things in different ways. Even with the COVID situation and the pandemic, you know, people handled it in very different ways, and there was a lot of judgment placed, you know, on people. And the biggest thing with mindfulness is really focusing on trying to have that non-judgmental stance and just experiencing our experience without just having more awareness of it and not necessarily harshly judging it. And I say that because I've had, even myself, actually, I remember people were posting like, oh, I cleaned out my entire, home and I did, amazing things, like whatever they did, like I'm exercising every day and all of this stuff. And that's great. But then there were people who were struggling because they were in homes that were not safe for them, or they were, not having access to all of their resources. And, there was this thing going around where it said, if you didn't do all of these things in your life, during this COVID and kind of uplift yourself or move yourself to the next level and something's wrong with you. But then we weren't accounting for the people who were struggling. And I think we have to see that we're all having some type of human experience and stop judging one another so harshly. So, bringing it back around to what I was saying about my own thing, I was looking like, oh my gosh, do I need to clean out my garage? I need to, like, you start kind of judging, should I be doing more? Like, and I think for the COVID situation, you have to just say, you know what, I'm consuming too much of this. I need to figure out what's best for me and my family and how I can support what's in my control. And so I would say the same is for what's happening, with issues of race and issues with equality and things like that right now. I mean, it's been happening forever. I think right. It's mm-hmm. just getting a huge amount of attention right now, which is very good and powerful for, the movement and for the cause and the things that need to happen in this country, the change that's always needed to happen in this country. Mm-hmm. But what, as an individual, I think people need to start looking at what is in my control and what is out of my control, and identifying what is in your control, whether it's looking at some things you can do, educating yourself, like what was mentioned earlier, speaking to the people in your life where maybe you didn't have these conversations before, checking in on people, posting things if it's helpful resources, doing those things. Those things are in, your control, talking to, public officials that can make change, doing the things that we would do that you can do and that you have control over. We can't, stop everything that's going on, but we can, as individuals, do things. And I think that's important for just life in general. And so, sorry, I'm saying a lot right now, but
this is powerful.
Okay, good. So for the other things that are in your control, when we focus too far of what's out of our control, that's where anxiety and fear lie. Mm-hmm. And so
wait, say that one more time. I'm writing that down. What?
When we focus on things that are out of our control, that is where anxiety and fear lie.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. One more time for the people in the back. You're so right.
Yeah. That is so, so powerful.
Yeah, it is. And, it's easy to forget how to kind of focus on what's in our actual control. And self-care, practicing mindfulness, watching how much you're consuming. And I say that to not say ignore what's happening, but definitely don't ignore what's happening. But you don't have to consume it 24/7 either. And if you're able to care for yourselves, practice your meditation if you do that. Yoga, a warm bath, reading, journaling about what you're experiencing, journaling about this time, identifying like what is in your control, what can you do, who can you talk to, those kinds of things. Those are things that are in your control as well. And if we're able to take care of ourselves and have compassion for ourselves, then we can also extend, kind of fill your cup up, like you said. Then if your cup is full, then you can also extend that love, that compassion, the kindness. All of those things that we need in our world right now, we can extend it out to others. And for people who are very much, wanting to advocate for the current cause and continue advocating, even when it's not in the, front of the news, then you have to take care of yourself. And then you also have to look at what's in your control and then continue to do those things.
Man, I just think that that's such a, this is, wow, this is so timely. And I think this is clearly something that I need to be hearing right now, because you're right. Because when we focus on the things that aren't in our control, which I do all the time, I do it all the time. Like I panic, I get frustrated about things that I will never be in control of. So why do I sit and focus on them for so long? I don't know, but I've developed some pretty bad habits of doing that. So I cannot wait to implement this. I think one thing that I saw that was super helpful, so I don't know who started it or how it happened, but it was a Venn diagram of different emotions that people are feeling in this time. Mm-hmm. And then the center of the Venn diagram, it was like, it's okay to feel all these things.
Yep.
And it was just like, okay. All right, I don't have to berate myself, because you're right. My own self-compassion is not great for when I was experiencing different emotions and, you know, am I supposed to be feeling like this? And what am I supposed to be doing? And instead, taking a break, taking a step back and saying, okay, maybe I need to give myself a little bit more compassion. And it's okay to be feeling a myriad of things right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think it just at the center of it is being open to listening to others and hearing their perspectives, because all of us are going through this whole experience very differently. And some of us, it's impacting us in so many very deep ways that it's hard to see out of your own paradigm. And even when you're really trying, sometimes you're still not totally going to get it. You're never going to get it and understand that experience someone else had fully. But I think just listening and being there to have the dialogue is the first step. So, I mean, with the industry we're in, that it really likes to place the traditional white straight couple on a pedestal in a way. And we both are aiming to make our businesses inclusive. And I know our listeners, most of them are trying to do this as well. And some of them aren't doing it perfectly. And none of us really are. We're all struggling through this. And in this time, I think it's making us reflect on it more than ever. Do you have any suggestions of how people can be more inclusive? I mean, listening to others, reflecting, being mindful, anything beyond that that you'd suggest as a professional that might help us do better for those around us in our community?
Yeah, you know, and I definitely can't speak for everyone in my, you know, community or my culture, but I would say that the thing that's probably most important, at least for me, is showing representation of the different groups. And like you said, the wedding industry kind of does place this pedestal. I mean, the media does, right? Everything does in our country. So I think the most important thing that professionals as yourselves can do is actually show representation of a diverse individuals, show that that's also what beauty is. You know, show people of color, show people of different orientations, sexual orientations, show people, you know, highlight them as much as we are highlighting what is traditionally seen. Like I said earlier, people just want to be seen as humans. That's it. It's not like, if we could just, there's not, you know, it's not some big kind of mystery. It's just treating people as much as you can equally. And, you know, we also have to do the work and be intentional about it. And a lot of times for professionals, actions speak louder than words. And you may have the desire to want to do these things, to make it inclusive of everyone, to have more equity, and it could, you don't have to be perfect at it. No one's perfect at anything. But I think if you're intentional about it and you want to have these things kind of implemented into your business, then you will find a way to kind of move closer to where your desires are. And it's really just being intentional about it. And not, again, not just when mass things are happening, but all the time. I think it's good because things happening allows you to have that reflection, but you have to use that reflection to move into action. Yeah, it was interesting. I was looking at, what was I looking at? Speaking of the wedding space, about how many years ago now? My husband might kill me. I think we're married 13 years. I was going to say about 2 or 3 years ago. So
you had that renewal too. Yeah. You had a huge renewal. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. We had our vow renewal. And, you know, in my search for, you know, photographers or, you know, just different, you know, a wedding planner and, or a vow renewal planner, like those different things that I was looking at, images were mostly of, like you mentioned, like traditional white straight couples. And there weren't very many, you know, people of color or, you know, people of different abilities and or sexual mm-hmm. orientations, what, you know, all the differences that make this country beautiful, make this world beautiful, they weren't represented as such. And so it's hard when people want to, you know, choose a business or choose someone to go with if we're not seeing that you can capture what is beautiful about within other cultures as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I look at it as the kids that I've had influence on with fostering and then our daughter now trying to teach her from a young age and, you know, making the decisions to buy dolls that are of different shades and, you know, genders and everything to open her up to all of that. And in addition, I mean, I haven't even mentioned this to Jamie, but I'm actually writing a few children's books. And in those, there's one about being a flower child, we're not calling it flower girl, and one about being a ring bearer. And every single page of the book, the illustrator is having a different type of couple. And we've been working on this for like a year. But we're trying to have folks of different abilities, different same-sex couples, different races, like just beautiful, so that any couple who gets this will see themselves in this book and feel excited to give it to the child. And the book's really centered on empowering and telling this child how special they are. And I think for me, I start within my home and I start thinking about how impactful it is as a kid to hear these messages. And sometimes it's harder to work through and get to someone's heart and have them open to this when they're older and they're kind of hardened and closed off. But that's kind of how I've approached this. And I mean, this is just such a powerful dialogue to have you here today, Ariel. I'm so grateful for you to be here.
Yeah, I'm grateful to be here with you guys too, because I think these conversations are also important to have. And then talking also to not only sharing thoughts and feelings and, you know, empowering kids, our young people are the ones that will probably hopefully save this world. But, you know, but I think we do have to start there. We have to, you know, teach and educate our children on, you know, what beauty is. For my children in particular, I have two little girls and, you know, I have to teach them things, you know, that are to show them that they are beautiful. I have to definitely find, you know, images of them and help them see that they can do anything and things like that. And I actually just had, it was funny because my 8 year or soon to be 8 year old, we were trying to find like little summer activities to do. And she's into coding. And it was really cool because I found a book on, I think it's Sasha Savvy Loves Coding or something like that, but it's an African-American girl who's coding in the summer camp. Mm-hmm. And she loved that, just, you know, that representation, because there's not a lot, you know, not a lot of representation in that area. But also it was really cool because we found this thing, it's called Skype a Scientist.
Okay.
And I was telling him, oh, we got matched with a scientist and it's a paleontologist. And I was just mentioned, maybe, I think I mentioned the lady's name. They were like, what? A girl? A girl could be a paleontologist? Aww. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, yes, girls can be anything, you know? So it's, you know, I mean, it's the same thing where we have to educate, you know, not only, you know, gender, but, you know, race and other things. We have to, it starts with the kids and it starts with connecting them to things. And like you said, it starts in the home with what we're teaching them. So I really encourage people to look at that, but that's kind of the easier thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the comfortable thing to do. So my other thing that I encourage people to do is be uncomfortable. You know, people every day have to be uncomfortable. And so when you see like the hardened older people like we're talking about, or hardened people our own age, or hardened anyone who don't want to hear these things, you can still express, you know, what you need to them, or you can still have these conversations with them to be open minded with what their experience is as well, and maybe share some of yours. It may not change them. Again, like everyone's opinion is their own, they're entitled to that, but you can still have the conversations, and you can still, you know, stand up for things when you see wrong things being done. And I think that is a huge thing. People, you may, it's easier to say things and to, and easier to teach our children things because they're manageable, but it's harder when we see something wrong being done, whether it's in our workspace, in the professional business space, on social media, on these different things. It's harder to say things or make changes. And so that's what people can do, you know, as well. Be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable along with us.
Yeah, it sounds like it's finding that balance.
Yeah,
because there you do need to have those hard moments. You do need to have those moments where you stand up and say something, but you also need to make sure again that you're not pouring from that empty cup and just spewing everywhere. You it's that balance, and it's really being aware of your heart and what you're feeling. And when you're ready to pour, pour. But if you are empty, take a beat. Am I hearing that correctly?
You are, definitely. Definitely.
Oh gosh, Ariel, you're exactly what I needed today. And I think you're exactly what so many of our listeners needed to hear today. Can you walk us through a mindfulness exercise that might help pros or couples who are feeling overwhelmed or stressed during this time? I mean, basically just any and all of us, or just me, maybe just walk me through something.
I can. Yeah. So we'll just get into it. There's, I think probably relevant to this discussion and what's happening in the world right now, I'd like to walk everyone through a mindfulness exercise. It's called Just Like Me. And it's powerful in just your own compassion, but also, you know, building self-compassion. Compassion towards others, and realizing that, you know, not only do we need compassion, but we need to provide compassion to the people around us, but and even also people we don't agree with or who are not like us, or who we have a challenging relationship with. So I'll add that this is also something that could be beneficial, because I know you both are in the wedding industry, but it's important. You know, I do a lot of couples counseling and focus on couples communication and supporting them with communication with one another. But I do this for them to build compassion with one another, because when couples are fighting, sometimes they feel like, you know, someone has to win or lose, or the other person was wrong or right. And it's not about, it's not about who's wrong or who's right. It's about, you know, how can we have that compassion, understanding, and then move forward with one another. So for those of you, when we walk through this one, if you want to connect it with what's happening in the world, or if you are, you know, of course, they're avid listeners of you guys. And so if it's more of what might help their relationship, especially in times of stress and wedding planning, all that kind of stuff, this I think would be beneficial for kind of both avenues. So I'd like you guys to close your eyes, or you can have a soft gaze. And I would have you take three big deep breaths with me. So a big deep breath in and out. Another breath in and out. One last big deep breath in and out. And I would just have you settle into your breathing and get comfortable within your body. If you notice any tension anywhere, try and relax your body. You can do a quick scan. And I'd like you to bring to mind whether it's your partner or whether it's someone, you know, in the community or someone you're having a challenging time with, or even just, you know, what's happening currently in our country, in our world. And I'd like you to just kind of silently or just to yourself, repeat these phrases. I want you to, again, just become aware that this individual that you've decided to focus on is a fellow human being, just like you. And repeat, this person has a body and a mind, just like me. This person has feelings, emotions, and thoughts, just like me. This person has in his or her life or their life experienced physical and emotional pain and suffering, just like me. This person has at some point been sad, disappointed, angry, or hurt, just like me. This person has felt unworthy or inadequate, just like me. This person worries and is frightened sometimes, just like me. This person is learning about life, just like me. This person has longed for connection, just like me. This person wants to be caring and kind to others, just like me. This person wishes to be free from pain and suffering, just like me. This person wishes to be safe and healthy, just like me. This person wishes to be happy and loved, just like me. Now, with understanding that connection, I'll ask you all to send out some wishes for well-being to others or to this individual, especially during this time. I wish that this person had the strength, resources, and social support to navigate the difficulties in life with ease. I wish that this person be free from pain and suffering. I wish that this person be peaceful and happy. I wish for this person to feel seen and cared for. I wish that this person be loved, because this person or these people are fellow human beings just like me. You can take a big deep breath in and orient yourself back into the space that you're in right now. Now, hopefully that was helpful for you all.
Wow, that was very timely. I think that was super powerful. And I know we've talked on the phone recently about how you're transitioning into rolling out some virtual things. And I'm just experiencing that. I'm like, I got to get signed up. I got to go to this couple's virtual retreat Ariel's working on. And I think a lot of the folks listening are probably interested in this. And I just want to, like, I'm like, this was so powerful and moving. I'm like, I need more of this. So can you tell people where to find you? Let's just switch into that, because I want to make sure you have folks come to you and get more of this amazing calmness you're bringing.
Yes, definitely. I would greatly appreciate that. And you guys can find me on Instagram at Your Happy Living Solutions. And also, I have a podcast with my husband, and it's on Instagram and Facebook is our kind of socials. You can find us at Meditate Motivate Movement. And our podcast is called Meditate Motivate and Movement. I'm also with my family, again, just another opportunity to show representation of, you know, traveling with kids and how you can do that successfully, whether it's locally or far. And then also, you know, representation of diverse families also traveling and traveling with families. We have started an Instagram page. We haven't kind of quite gone into our YouTube channel or anything like that, but it's called At Here Come the Richards. Yeah, it's fun.
They're like the cutest family, Jamie. Seriously, their little girls are geniuses and so adorable.
Yeah, I like how she just snuck in that her almost 8-year-old loves coding. What on earth?
Yeah, I know. I know. So I'm just like, everything Ariel does, I love. It's so powerful. And I just want to prop her up here and make sure our listeners go check out what she's doing, because it's going to help you. And also, I mean, we all need this right now. She has some wisdom here. She's a sage, wise, wise woman. So please, please tap into what she's doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a self-care book coming that I'll be posting on Your Happy Living Solutions. And then also, like Heather mentioned, I am working on a virtual couples retreat that I think will be very, very powerful and important for couples, because the biggest thing is that a lot of us, well, right now, especially with COVID happening, it's harder to kind of go out and go to these big fancy like couples retreat, marriage retreats and things like that. But it's important to, you know, have, you know, some of those skills and that time to reconnect and, you know, kind of focus on how do we, you know, even motivate one another and stay connected and in love and all of those different things. And so, yeah, I think it's important to have smaller kind of retreats for people and the virtual aspect of it I'm doing now, because I think it's important with this climate that we are able to kind of do it in our own time as well. And, you know, everyone's busy and has different lives and kids, and it's hard to kind of just, you know, take a scheduled time away, but it's important to do also. And so this makes it a little bit more flexible for people. So I'm excited to bring kind of all of this stuff together. And I appreciate being on here to kind of talk about it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for it. And yeah, you have to keep me posted. I'm going to be watching on your Instagram to sign up for this. So anybody who goes to this virtual retreat, I will be there with Joe, because, you know, life is crazy. We got to keep our balance. And I think for so long, therapy and working on your mental health is seen as something that you're weak, but really it's something to strengthen you, and it's something to keep you healthy and keep you strong. And I think for so many of us, we don't focus on it until it's at a very bad place. So I really encourage all of you to do that. And she's an amazing resource, this gal here. So please check her out.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag at Union Podcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.
Oh my gosh, Ariel, I was literally like tearing up from that.
I'm so glad you closed that out, Heather, because I feel like I'm barely hanging on, not crying over here. Ariel, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being open to having these conversations and being inclusive in the work that you guys are doing.
Girl, we're doing our best. We're not perfect, but we're working on it. And I think it's something that the community we have here needs to hear. And we want to make sure the people who are minorities of any type in this community know we see you, we hear you, we want to bring your voices to others. Like, we want to lift them up. So we're just so grateful for you. And I can't wait to see the travel adventures with your kids. Oh my gosh, Jamie, there's a funny story. One of her daughters, I forget where she was. It was somewhere really cool, like the Parthenon or some really cool monument. And her daughter was like, what, under five at the time, and said, I've been waiting my whole life to see this. My sister and I laugh about this story about Ariel's daughter all the time because we're just like, her whole life, those whole few years, and she's wow. This amazing thing adults never see, some people, you know?
Colosseum, I think. I can't remember now actually where we were, but she, there's something else, these kids. Oh
my gosh.
That's so cute.